Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Well, congratulations. Looks like the Dallas Cowboys have made their decision on a head coach. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. No, the Cowboys haven't come out and said anything about Mike McCarthy, Perloff, but they blocked the Chicago Bears from interviewing head coach Mike McCarthy. And you can say a lot of things about Jerry Jones. A lot of things have been said about Jerry on this show. I don't know if he's the most scrupulous guy of all time. And I think we've got some court documents that would probably reflect that. But I don't think he would be this vindictive, mean-spirited, whatever you want to call it, where if he's not going to keep Mike McCarthy and retain him as head coach, that he would block him from trying to get a future job. That doesn't feel like a move that Jerry would make.
A move that Jerry would make would be keep Mike McCarthy for another 7 years. Well, like, he loves him some Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy's probably sleeping over at his house right now. So you're right. Of course he would not do this because he's very, very loyal. And he's a relationship guy. And he clearly has a good one with McCarthy.
Definitely. And so I think that the Cowboy fans are going to be really upset about this. And I would say don't fret. Easy for me to say. I know you want to get to the Super Bowl. I know you haven't been to the NFC Championship game in 30 years. I get all of that. But the Cowboys were never linked to anybody. They haven't been rumored for anybody. And I don't think that Kellen Moore or Lincoln Riley or whoever, any of these guys who are candidates right now outside, I guess, Vrabel, who's coming in here who's going to win 12 games? Who's going to come in here and you know for sure Perloff is going to have more success than Mike McCarthy is having with the Dallas Cowboys right now?
Well, I mean, could you give me Ben Johnson? I would take him in a heartbeat over Mike McCarthy.
Have you heard one rumor
about
this?
No, they haven't. Then that's not their style. They never would go in on the hot, expensive guy. That's just not. I mean, Ben Johnson's probably going to get the biggest salary of any coach. So there's no chance that they would go for him.
Right.
I mean, they don't want anyone who's going to have more shine than Jerry. That's why he likes having McCarthy.
Yeah, and I guess, like, listen, I think a lot of Cowboy fans are going to look at this as, like, waving the white flag.
Yeah.
And Jerry not really wanting to win. By the way, welcome to my side of the argument of what I've been saying for years about Jerry Jones. He cares more about being Jerry and giving you hope than he does about winning. But I've come around here on McCarthy because I'm looking at the other coaching candidates and I'm not really getting super jazzed up about any of these guys either.
Really?
And I'm looking at Dak Prescott, who was second in MVP voting last year with Mike McCarthy calling plays. And I don't see that as a bad thing. Can we give Mike Zimmer another year to try to get this defense a little bit better? Can you have a little continuity? This isn't Jason Garrett, who has been the head coach for 8 years.
Right.
Mike McCarthy, it's been 4 years. Maybe he gets another 2-year deal here. And I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing. You got riddled with injuries this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do a lot worse is what I'm saying. Now, is that like the ultimate vote of confidence? But you said it yourself. Jerry's not going after the biggest fish. He's not bringing in Vrabel.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to bring in Belichick. So you are where you are. And I think the McCarthy is not a bad option.
I disagree on one thing. I do think Jerry Jones thinks he's going for a Super Bowl, but his ego will not let him bring in the right guy. But, I mean, let's look at this results this year. When Dak was healthy, they lost. I'm looking at this.
Oh, I know.
44-19 to New Orleans.
I know. But
they lost 47-9 to Detroit. They weren't even competitive. They were terrible when Dak was there this year. Like, the team was falling apart.
I was told that's because Micah Parsons was hurt. I was told,
you were told 44
that the defense was bad because of all the injuries on defense. I was told that by you.
No, I never thought but when they fell apart earlier this year, I figured McCarthy was gone. And the fact that they won a couple games with Cooper Rush, they actually got good on defense when Parsons came back. Yeah. Obviously, losing Dan Quinn was like the death knell for this team. That became very, very clear very early in the season. So No, there's no future here. There's just none. We're talking about the Raiders to start the show having no future. Like, Dallas has, now they're out of the Super Bowl mix. There won't be a single expert alive who picks them to win the Super Bowl next year. And I think most people are going to turn off them for the playoffs even, because they're going to have to pay Micah Parsons. All this money is going to be caught up at top of their chart with Dak Prescott, who's coming off a major hamstring injury, will turn 32. CeeDee Lamb is the only guy who can catch the ball on that team. They have no help at receiver. There's nowhere to get it. They're probably going to draft a running back, which might help, but still, it's not going to help enough to turn them around. I just don't see this going well for Dallas.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's not Mike McCarthy's fault. You're talking about personnel and about how they're allocating dollars. Mike McCarthy has nothing to do with that, and the Joneses make it abundantly clear that he has nothing to do with that. That is all a Jerry problem. So you're going to bring in, name your coaching candidate.
Well, yeah,
they're
going to
be dealing with the same stuff.
Even if you had a super talented roster, like, Mike McCarthy has not inspired that team in big moments. Because he hasn't won a playoff game, and
he has won a playoff game.
They beat
the Bucks.
They beat the shadow of the Bucks. What was that team they beat? They've gotten, when it's been a big game, Mike McCarthy's come up short. There's no way you can argue against that.
Listen, the Green Bay loss was unforgivable. Of course it was.
The first Niners loss was not great. The second Niners loss, that was a good Niners team, I understand, but still, like, Dallas should have won that year. They just, they're not fired up. They're not really, like, you could tell, they're just not all on the same page. Think of the great Patriots teams. Like, they are, everybody is doing their role, has maximum energy. When it comes to a big moment, the Cowboys come up small. I don't think McCarthy inspires them, which it's not his fault necessarily, but there's no reason to build around this dude.
I just think you're talking about the issues with the Cowboys are actually the Jerry Jones issues. So to pin that stuff on Mike McCarthy, who, yes, I mean, you're falling short to the San Francisco 49ers, one team that should have gone to the Super Bowl if what's-his-face can hang on to an interception against the Rams.
Yeah, but that team was 10-7.
Whatever. I'm just saying that was a team that was an eyelash away from the Super Bowl, and the next year they lost to a team that did go to the Super Bowl, and those playoff losses were very close both times. The Packers loss, like, I got nothing for you. It was a terrible loss. I thought he was going to get fired after that, but the fact that he didn't, Dan Quinn was the one who had to pay the price for it. I get it. It's 1-3 in playoffs for Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, you want that to be better. But you've made your bed with Prescott, with Lamb. It's going to be Parsons. Like, this, Mike McCarthy has gotten 12 wins out of this group.
It's going to be hard next year because you won't have Diggs at the beginning of the year. You're probably not going to get Overshawn back at all next year, depending on how his recovery from, like, three different knee injuries is.
That's a shame.
And also, where's the help coming? Like, they don't want to spend in free agency. And they said all in last year. I guess they have some cap space this year. They're not going to use it. They're going to wait till the end of the summer, give it all to Parsons. It's just not, I'm not going to be fooled again. It actually feels, it's starting to feel a little bit like Jason Garrett, where Garrett had some highs for sure. Remember, there were some good teams with Tony Romo. But then it just sort of spun. The wheels were spinning, and now we're in that the spinning wheels, mediocre stage of the Cowboys coaching carousel, and nothing's going to change.
But you know what? That may have been sealed when they gave Dak Prescott $60 million, right? Like, when you're talking about the mediocre
I don't think that one move alone. It's all these moves. Like, the fact that he won't bring in another, like, that he wouldn't even look at Belichick. Like, that says, like, the fact that he won't bring in a real game changer, guy who's going to challenge him and is going to challenge Steven at every move. Like, he's got to do that. He's got to bring in somebody who's going to really, really push this team. And McCarthy, we know, will not. He's going to let Jerry be the GM. Unfortunately, like, he's got to bring in somebody with power. He's got to bring in a Jim Harbaugh. I know.
I'm talking about a leper to change their spots. This is not going to happen.
Yeah, but keeping McCarthy is just like, what's the point of that? Like, what are we doing? At least give me change.
855-212-4227. It would just be for change's sake then. And I think Cowboy fans are smart enough to see the difference there.
I mean, I guess I'm hoping the fantasy that they bring in a guy who looks like a lamb but turns out to be a lion, and it's like really going to stand up to the Joneses and be like, no, I'm running this team. This is how it's going to work. This is who we're drafting.
Who was this person?
I don't know.
Damn, act together.
Jerry's like, never doing that.
I don't know. Somehow he gets fooled into hiring Jimmy Johnson 2.0. Yeah, I know. All right, now I'm talking fantasy football.
I mean, come on. Like, we got to operate in reality here. The reality is Jerry's still in charge.
That's sad.
Exactly. And you could, again, you could do a lot worse than McCarthy. You're going to bring back Kellen Moore? I don't understand that. Who are you going to bring in? Brian Flores just to come in and kick some ass? Like, I don't think that's who you need here right now.
I think Vrabel would be the choice, right? Because, like, at least people play hard for Vrabel. And probably Brian Flores, you know, there's a lot. He's a bit polarizing because he burned so many bridges in Miami, right? Not really he wasn't a people person in his last job. He'd be pretty good with that defense, man. If he had some of those weapons, I swear, you know, I keep talking about it. Their schedule gets brutal next year. They have had nothing but easy schedules. A lot of AFC South, the NFC East has been bad, but now the Commanders are good. The Eagles look like they're going to be good for a long time. You got that crazy NFC North. They play all four of those teams next year. It's going to be tough.
855-212-4227. Again, the Cowboys haven't said anything. This is all of us reading tea leaves because...
But they haven't been one request for an interview.
No, not one request for an interview. And also, I just don't think that Jerry would block Mike McCarthy from interviewing with the Bears and then 10 and 6 days later show him the door. EJ, you think Jerry's capable of that?
Definitely. Because everything I keep hearing about this Jerry Jones and how he views anybody on the contract with him is you work for me for as long as that contract states. If that's three more days, then damn it, three more days you're reporting to the office. So when there was a story that if Mike McCarthy, you know, decided he wanted to interview before his contract came up, that he basically would be fired as Dallas Cowboys head coach. So I think Jerry Jones is a guy who likes to take his sweet time. I think he's like, I'm not going to be rushed by anybody else. So I have till January 14th to decide if Mike McCarthy is my coach. I'll wait till then. And I think I really think there's a chance that he may just let the contract expire and then say, all right, you want to go over there? All right, go over there now, and then we'll talk later. I think that that's definitely in the realm of possibility.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't see it. I think the only team that does something that was like disrespectful like that is your New York Jets, who had Ron Rivera and I forgot who else in the building while the coaching staff is still all there.
Yeah, Vrabel and Ron Rivera all coming in there.
Dudes are cleaning out their offices.
Yep. Love the Jets.
Classless organization.
As well was because Pearl's talking that they need a Jimmy Johnson type. Well, people forget what coincided with Jimmy Johnson was also previous to that a complete teardown of the roster.
Yeah.
Oh, like they were terrible. Jimmy's first year.
Yeah. And like I'm like we're not talking about that right now. Like
what
we're
they
talking
should
about
be
Dak
though,
coming
right?
back. Yeah, that's why I think maybe that we need to maybe have that discussion too. Like,
oh yeah,
if Dak's coming back and CeeDee's coming back and Mike, I know Mike is great, but Mike is coming back and a lot of these guys are coming back. Well, then I don't know if hiring the Jimmy Johnson matters if the roster's still the same.
Well, yeah, but they might get to the top of the draft pretty soon. Like within a year or two, they might get into the number one talk. I think it's going down fast. I mean, they got Ezekiel Elliott at 4. No, it's really interesting too. Every mock draft's going to have their number 12, I believe, Ashton Jeanty, because he's going to try and recreate Ezekiel Elliott's first year when Zeke ran for like 1,600 yards and they were awesome. Will Jeanty get to 12? I'm dying to see that because there are some teams that could use a running back before. Usually running backs don't go that high. It feels like Ashton Jeanty's generational, like Bijan Robinson.
And Jahmyr Gibbs.
Gibbs was a shock when he went 12, but I see Chicago at number 10. What if Mike Vrabel gets Chicago and says, give me the running back and recreates Derrick Henry? I would laugh so hard if Dallas thinks they're getting Ashton Jeanty and then gets swooped in at the last second.
855-212-4227. All right, Cowboy fans. I don't know. How do you see this? Jerry has blocked Mike McCarthy from interviewing with the Bears. Do we see this as all right now? Just working out the details with a new contract with Big Mike, or as EJ sees it, which is you work for Jerry up until 11:59 on January 14th, and then after that, you do you.
No clocking out early in Dallas.
Yeah, but when's he going to interview people? Like all the good everybody's going to be hired by January 14th.
Look, Jerry Jones, what do you do with Dak Prescott, right? It was like literally until the hour before kickoff. He's like, you know what? All right, here's a $60 million contract.
Wasn't it like halftime of their last preseason game something?
It was literally week one this year. It was right before kickoff.
How about Paul Ann? How about Pete Carroll? He'll be probably available. That'd be fun. Oh my God, Pete Carroll in Dallas. I'd sign up for that.
That's the other thing, too. Like, if you're not a guy who's going to be you know, going after the hottest names, maybe you don't need to rush into the coaching. Like, if you're not going to get, if you don't want Mike Vrabel, if you don't want Ben Johnson, then, like, what's the rush?
Maybe you follow the Bears' trajectory, thinking outside the box, offense, defense, and special teams, according to their GM. Whoa, no one's ever had that thought before.
College and pro.
Easy. Oh, I can't take all this at once.
Football and football.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Cowboys fans, let's giddy up and go. We also have a big admission, I thought, from a league MVP. That's next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So we did a pre-production call last night. Again, you and I disagree big time on something.
What's up?
Lamar Jackson is one of the most honest people in sports. Mm-hmm. He gets up on the podium and just says whatever is on his mind. And that's why I think everyone likes Lamar Jackson. I've never really heard of anyone be like, man, I hate that Lamar Jackson. Super, seems like a nice guy. I have no idea. I don't know him personally that well. But I'm just saying, like, he's honest. He's forthright. And he made some comments about what's happened in the playoffs. And I think he's spot on. I have absolutely no problem with what he said. And I totally understand.
So here's Lamar talking about past playoff failures and losses and what he thinks was behind it.
I just be too excited. That's all, you know, too antsy. Like,
down in these games.
Yeah, I just be too excited. That's all, you know, too antsy. Like, I'm seeing things before it happened. Like, oh, I got to calm myself down. But just being more experienced, I found a way to balance it out.
Yeah, like, that's like in a job interview. What's your major flaw? I'm too much of a perfectionist. I just love my job too much. I just want to go 100% at all times.
I care, like, too much.
That is not like some sort of deep confession. I screw somebody that's like, yeah, I'm just so amped up. I want to win so bad that sometimes I push it a little too hard.
Okay,
like,
but,
yeah, okay.
No, see, this is why I'm surprised that he would make this admission, and that's fine if you want to be super honest.
That's not even an admission. But go ahead.
There's nothing in the regular season that's going to be able to simulate what it's like when you get on the field in the playoffs.
Right.
First of all, he played well against the Texans last year. So what? He wasn't amped up against the Texans. It's only against what? The Chiefs. That's it. So to me, I'm surprised he said this because there's no way to know if he's not going to be super amped up and too amped up this time around.
Right.
Unless you just think that he's learned from his past mistakes.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's like, with experience, I hope I can get over that. That makes perfect sense.
Okay, well,
course.
He's been playing playoff games for years now. It's not like last year was their first go-round into the postseason. A reason he's got a 2-4 record in the playoffs.
Well, it's kind of like an NBA player. Like, you start winning around 27, 28, you got to learn how to win. And, I mean, Lamar is how old? He's 28. Yeah, it's not like he's been playing for years. He's not old man Philip Rivers. I mean, yeah, he's learning how to win in the NFL. That's totally cool.
All right. I would thought this was an interesting one because what's to say, again, you can say, all right, I've learned my lesson, but no one's going to believe him until we actually see something. And here's the thing about Lamar. Which way do you think this pressure is going the more he goes to the playoffs and doesn't get to the Super Bowl? Same with Josh Allen, by the way. It's the pressure doesn't go down. The pressure goes up. So if he's too amped up, too jazzed up, whatever, you could also say it's going to be worse this year because every year you don't make it is another year where people are going to call you a playoff choker.
Right. So that's all about Lamar. But what does that have to do with his quote? He was asked, why do you think you've maybe come up short in the playoffs in the past? I'm just too darn excited sometimes, and maybe I rush things. Like, so what? Like, why is that an admission? That's a quasi-admission. That's just like, man, I want to win. I just really want to support the Ravens and get a Super Bowl so bad for this fan base. Like, that's not an admission. That's like kind of like a quarterback line. That's like what they say.
But you said it's the truth.
Yeah, it's definitely. Well, actually, last year against the Chiefs, I know exactly what happened. For some reason, they got away from the run game, and I just wanted to get in there and throttle the entire staff of the Ravens. And then Zay Flowers fumbled the ball. Then Zay Flowers taunted a guy. Like, that whole game was a mess. And it wasn't even on Lamar. Lamar, actually, if you look at his stats, he didn't play great, but there were a lot of things that went wrong in that game. And this year, they're not going to do that. If they play the Chiefs, they are going to ground and pound. I guarantee you they're not going to open it up like that.
Yeah, Lamar did not play well in that game. The box score did not tell the story. He was completely flummoxed. He was dancing around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, why? He should be dancing around the line of scrimmage. He should have handed the ball off, or he should have been running. Why didn't he run more?
Because they were playing like they were down by two scores.
Yeah.
And
it, yeah, but that was the coach. I thought they were play calling odd.
Well, meanwhile, we Todd Monken's like, getting plenty of head coaching opportunities now.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at this year. They've been on fire. But I thought there was a lot of blame to go around. And honestly, if they didn't have that fumble at the goal line, that fourth quarter looks a lot different.
Perhaps 855-212-4227. Let's go to Michael, who's in Reno, Nevada, wants to talk about the 49ers. They have fired the defensive coordinator. They fired their special teams coach, and I have a brilliant idea for them. If they don't want to pay Brock Purdy at the top of the market, well, how about this? Trade Brock Purdy to the Las Vegas Raiders, who would be glad to hand him the bag. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Maggie. Good morning. Hey, like your take on the 49ers right now, I got a lot here. I'll try to get out of my head this early in the morning in Reno. Anyways, I'm going to start with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. They're trying to win a Super Bowl right now, and the window is probably closing, as you guys are talking about. And they've been right to the end. And Kyle Shanahan, I don't believe, is a great leader and a great head coach. I think he's the best offensive coordinator right now in the game of professional football. With that said, I don't think there's a big difference between Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo. If you go back in 49er history, Kyle Shanahan is not able to tell his quarterback where the safeties are when they're making a decision to throw a pass late in the game. So if you can get Aaron Rodgers and Kyle Shanahan together for 1 year, I don't think that's a bad idea, Maggie. I don't know what the 49ers can get in a trade for Brock Purdy. I mean, I love the kid, but he's just not going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So I hope that all makes sense.
Yeah, Michael, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Purdy would be a late round pick for Purdy, right? Or
I don't believe this.
Like a sixth round pick.
What did Purdy do to have this fall from grace?
It's just you have to pay him all that money. Like nobody wants to pay that money.
Teams are falling all over themselves to pay guys who have had not 1/8 of the success of Brock Purdy has in his small career.
Well, it's kind of like it's like when a receiver gets on the trade market. Like, how did that guy go for so little? Because teams will not trade big assets to pay a guy. That's just the way the NFL works.
Well, listen, you're not going to get as much draft capital if you still have to pay him. But to say we are going to get a late round pick for Brock Purdy, what are you smoking? I mean, he's a top half quarterback in this league.
Yeah, but I think I don't know. It's the money. I don't know. I mean, there's very few. How many quarterback trades have we had, actually? I'm trying to think of what's like an analogous trade.
I mean, Stafford going to Detroit, you had that. I mean,
that was a haul, but obviously that's obviously apples
for,
and oranges.
You can't trade for Rodgers.
Oh, right. The Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers trades.
Yeah, those are the trades. I mean, first round picks went into all of them.
Yeah.
Jets had to be a second rounder, I think, because he didn't play. It was a weird
thing. Right, but Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, there's nothing in Brock Purdy's resume like that.
Like, he's been to more. Well, he's been to comparable, at least Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowls. He didn't win. He was with an eyelash of winning.
More Super Bowls than Stafford when Stafford went.
Yeah, but Stafford is, I mean, maybe I'm, they're a completely different kind of quarterback.
They're totally different quarterbacks.
Stafford was obviously like the man.
I'm just saying it's like Brock Purdy, all of a sudden everyone's treating him like Mr. Irrelevant again. Now that it comes time to pay him when he's productive.
People want to pay him like I think the average NFL analyst wants to pay him like Baker Mayfield plus inflation because that's who he is.
Let's get to Bogus. He's got headlines for us. And you're welcome, of course, to call in on this at 855-212-4227. What's up, Bogus?
Guys, most of us,
Manny Rodriguez, aware by now that parts of the L.A. area are burning because of wildfires spread by high winds. The Lakers had a watch from afar playing in Dallas last night. This was head coach J.J. Redick pregame.
My family and my wife's twin sister, they've evacuated. I know that a lot of people are freaking out right now, including my family. And from the sound of things with the winds coming tonight, I know a lot of people are scared. So just want to acknowledge that and thoughts and prayers for sure. And hope everybody stays safe.
As far as we know, the Lakers got back to L.A. as scheduled overnight after a 118-97 loss to the Mavs and after a 114-98 loss to the Heat. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr said his mom among those fours from their homes. Also, someone in their front office is from one of the areas being affected by these horrible fires and horrible video and pictures all over the news and social media this morning. regular NBA action last night. The Nuggets didn't have an ill Nikola Jokic. They lost at home to the Celtics 118-106. The Rockets 135-112 winners in Washington. And the Hawks stunned the Jazz 124-121 on Trae Young's half-court three at the buzzer. College Hoops, Cooper Flagg showing off against Pitt.
They got it right the first time. And picked off. Flagg on the attack. Look at the slam! And a ball! Oh, my!
That's Dave O'Brien on ESPN with Flagg stealing the ball, needing just three dribbles to basically cover the entire court, jamming over a poor Panther. Flagg finished with 19 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. In a 76-47 Duke win, they are now on a 9-game roll.
I'm a big Cooper Flagg fan, but that dunk was maybe overstated on social
Number
media.
Number 8, Florida smothered.
That was like a, he was 1 inch over the rim.
Can't you just
that was
sit
like a
one out?
Dunk, and everyone's like, oh my God, Cooper Flagg just took it and yoked on his head. Like Zion Williamson, what he did last night, that was a dunk. Cooper Flagg was like, yeah, it was technically a dunk. He barely got over the rim, EJ. Don't look at me like
because
that.
Because he was dunking through another human being. I think that might have limited the takeoff.
Also, are you really going to compare everybody to Zion? You're going to be really disappointed.
People are acting like this Cooper Flagg dunk was like Kevin Johnson on Akeem. It was not that spectacular of a dunk, but please, go ahead, Andrew.
Old man yells at cloud.
I mean, hits from the ball.
This is your guy too.
Yeah,
I love Cooper Flagg.
This is your guy.
Like I was watching,
not
this,
that
like,
much.
I saw the tweet of like Cooper Flagg has like the dunk of the year, and I'm even. I just saw it on TV. I'm like, oh my God, that's barely technically a dunk. Like, I like Cooper Flagg, but he's got a lot of physical development to go. This was not the dunk of the year. Boom.
Number 8, Florida. Beat top-ranked Tennessee last night, 73-43. And Georgia took down number 6, Kentucky, 82-69 for its first top 10 win in 5 years. As you have heard here all morning, the Raiders fired Antonio Pierce yesterday, but are keeping GM Tom Telesco. Tom Brady expected to be part of that coaching search. Pete Carroll's now expected to get an interview for the Bears vacancy, and the Patriots will formally interview Mike Vrabel tomorrow. The San Francisco Giants reportedly signing Justin Verlander for $15 million for the coming season. Northern Illinois is joining the Mountain West for football only, giving the league 8 football members. And pour one out for Manny Pucks. His Knicks in a 3-game free fall, and his Rangers threw away two separate leads last night.
Harley tapping his Rangers. Own. Robertson in front. Tip. Score! Jamie Benn, the captain, completes the comeback. And the Stars have beaten the Rangers 5-4.
After being down 3-0 and 4-3 late in the third period. Guys, well, Maggie, back to you.
Sad, bogus.
Defeated, bogus.
I know. You're beaten down with Perloff's bad takes.
And the Rangers.
Bad takes. That was basically a finger roll that people are treating like a dunk.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I got to be fair to this guy. Like, there was another person right there. He had to dunk through this other dude.
I mean, he also, I love by the way, said, like, sidestepped a guy, like, and took three,
he ran 94 feet. Maybe that's why he couldn't jump more than 10 and a half feet. Sorry.
Would you say a sad Panther?
A poor Panther.
A poor Panther. Something like a little animal there.
You should tune in to watch. We got 3 or 4 games of Zion Williamson. Those are dunks. This is like looks like a high school kid. Go ahead.
It was violent, though. Will you not give it that?
No.
What
did you... Did you want him to do, like, some kind of dunk contest style dunk?
Or, like, shank him? I don't understand. Like, what?
360 between the legs.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Over a Kia?
Did you guys see... I think it was Shaden Sharp the other day. Did you see that dunk?
It was Portland Trailblazers, so no, I didn't see
that. Shaden Sharp. Shaden Sharp
hit a Blazer dunk.
We love our fans in Portland.
Shaden Sharp hit his head on the rim. Literally. Like, that was a dunk. That was, like, there are amazing things happening out there. I just think Cooper Flagg, everyone's just hyping him. Let's put it that way.
You know why he was only over the rim, not to your liking? Because he took off outside the lane.
I mean, there's still pictures that Duke has posted. I mean, it's ridiculous. Maybe he jumped from 8 feet.
The other part, too, so the Zion Williamson dunk, so Zion goes 360 one-hand jam. But
by himself.
The defender didn't get back. He literally had the half court. He set it up like it was the dunk contest.
Right.
And was expecting you know, Kenny Smith and Candace Parker to be there holding up eight. Like, if no one's going to play defense in the NBA, which no one's going to chase down Zion because they don't want to be in a poster.
Right.
This kid from Pittsburgh, he's got to get back or he's probably getting benched.
And Cooper didn't pop a hip doing this. I'm sure Zion's going to be out for two more games.
I know. That's true. 855-212-4227. Perloff's not entertained.
There should be a GoFundMe page for Maggie's future mental anguish.
I don't take this stuff nearly as seriously as you guys. I actually expect it. If Perloff had been like, you know what? Good for Cooper Flagg. That was an awesome dunk. I'd be like, what happened to you?
But I like Cooper Flagg. I just think, like, come on. I mean.
Every spectacular thing that happens in sports, Perloff's first response is, eh.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron, I said that's two accurate things. LeBron's dunk and Zion's dunk were crazy
that's
last
true,
night. LeBron's dunk was out of control. I don't
LeBron
know how the old man
ridiculous
did that.
Yes, better than Cooper Flagg, but Zion's third.
You guys had to see what Shaedon Sharpe did the other day. Like, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. That Cooper Flagg dunk is just like, come on, the Duke kid. Oh, my God, we love this guy, whatever.
Okay. We are going to turn our attention to college, but college football playoff semifinals kick off on Thursday. Josh Pate's going to join us next. It's M&P. College football playoff, Perloff. Tomorrow.
Yes.
Notre Dame, Penn State get us kicked off. The Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl. It's going to be Texas, of course, and Ohio State. Josh Pate's covering it all. Josh Pate's college football show, CBS Sports HQ, college football analyst and opinionist. Josh, it's Maggie and Perloff. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Look, I'm okay. How are you two? We're in a new era. I don't know how you've been faring in this new era. 12 teams in this thing this year.
It's crazy. Well, actually, I wish it'd been a little crazier, to be quite fair, but I'm not one of those people, Josh, that says just because we've had some blowouts and here and there, that means the whole thing has to be blown up. This is sports. Blowouts happen. Blowouts happen when it was four teams. Blowouts happen when it was the BCS. I'm not someone who thinks that the whole system has to be overhauled. I'm not sure how you feel about that.
Well, it really, so I could go an hour on this. I will summarize it in like 30 seconds. I watch Netflix. I have a login. I have an account. There are several series that I like. And I like sports too. We don't always have to blend the two. You don't always have to pretend like we're running a production company. Just because the outcome doesn't always, you know, suit your interests, it doesn't mean something's broken. It doesn't mean you have to run to your iPhone and record a 20-minute what's wrong with reaction video. Sometimes it just is what it is. I know that's dirty for people to hear, but sometimes you don't necessarily have to get what you want for something to be working.
Josh, you think the right four teams are in the final four? Did the basically what is this outcome, or at least four of the top say five or six teams have made it to where they are, and it's not really the bracket's fault that we have these four, as some people are claiming?
Well, so this is the trade-off. Okay, if you're going to have an expanded postseason, you are going to get the best team in the tournament. You're not going to get necessarily the best team from the entire season. That's why Oregon got eliminated with the first game they played in the postseason. That is the trade-off, okay? Now, someone like me, I'm much more of a purist, traditionalist. I love the regular season to matter, you know, a whole lot more. That's just because that's personal preference on me. But in terms of the expanded playoff, yes, we've got the right four teams because, yes, those are the four teams who have won and earned their way, which was the forever battle cry for playoff expansionists, and that was we're tired of subjectivity, we're tired of a committee, determining things. We're tired of like AP voters in Des Moines, Iowa, voting on who the best team is. We want to see a tournament. We want to see it played out on the field. I know a lot of people, myself included, have had a lot of gripes about the format. That's very short-sighted only because I think that will be fixed. Maybe not as quick as folks think it will, but I think that'll be fixed moving forward. But by and large, yeah, I thought Georgia would beat Notre Dame. They didn't. So that's why Notre Dame's here playing in Miami tomorrow night, and that's why Georgia's sitting at home. I'm fascinated by the concept that an Ohio State team, guys, that would not have been in the four-team format, would not have been in the two-team format, has been given new life, and they're buzzsawing their way through this thing, which shines some light on my theory that for all the folks who wanted expansion in college football playoff for a Cinderella opportunity, you're never getting that. The Cinderella opportunity is a flawed but still high-ceiling Ohio State team that gets a second shot or a third shot, new life breathed into their lungs. They're the ones who go on the run here. If you're okay with that, this playoff is for you.
Never heard Ohio State be compared to Cinderella, but I get exactly what you're talking about. I think the Cinderella is just, you know, maybe getting into the playoff and winning a game, because you're right. This is the bluest of bloods that we could have here in the semifinal with Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, and Ohio State. Let's dive into these two games, though, Josh, and we'll start with tomorrow night. So Notre Dame is a slight favorite in this game. I'm seeing about 1.5 points, so this should be pretty close. Can Notre Dame get the same game out of Riley Leonard that they got against Georgia and beat Penn State?
Yeah, I think they can. It's such a beautiful thing when you think about what that question is, Maggie. Can they get what they got out of Riley Leonard? So,
like, not much in the passing game.
Like, traditionally, in late season playoff football, when you're winning, your quarterback's giving you 21 of 28, 305 yards, three touchdowns. He had 90 passing yards against Georgia. And he had he had no turnovers, and he had a lot of key third down conversions with his legs when they were trying to extend clock, kill game late. Yeah, they can do that. That has to blend with something, though. So that's like a train car coupling. That has to couple with them being plus in the turnover margin or them winning on special teams. It's complementary football. It's three-phase approach. Every coach talks about it. Every player talks about it. Most fans use that phrase, all three phases. I'm not sure they all mean it, because I don't think most fans believe there are three equal phases to the game. There are, when you play them properly. Notre Dame plays them properly. If they do, it doesn't guarantee a win. It's just that this Notre Dame team has to do that, or you probably got Penn State going to the finals. Penn State, I think it'll be tough for them to move the ball here, but you're asking yourself, okay, if we play even turnover football, what do we really need? 17, 20, that could win this game.
How good is Penn State's quarterback, Drew Aller?
Still think his ceiling, still think his best football at the college level is ahead of him. Talked to a couple NFL scouts the other day, and what was funny is I'm reaching out to them in the hotel lobby asking, what are you guys hearing? They're asking on my end, what are y'all hearing? Like, is he going to come out? Is he going to stay? I would say it's like a 70-30 consensus. He comes back for one more year. Of course, we've seen in the past, guy goes crazy in his last couple of games. That makes the decision for him. I think he is in a situation where his best receiving threats are his tight end, which is the best in America, and his running backs, really. And you're playing against the Notre Dame team. I think we graded them number two in the country in man coverage snaps played this season. So you don't have a lot of zone looks to break down. It's your guy versus their guy. And with that tight end position especially, it doesn't take him doing what he did against USC, where he had 17 catches in one afternoon. It's just a few big stick movers, third and eight becomes first and 10. They've got to do something in the red zone here. Notre Dame's the same way, actually. I didn't mention this, but Notre Dame offensively is like number one in the country in going for it down there. They are very, very much all in on don't care what down and distance is. We're getting seven if we get down there. Penn State's defense is number one in FBS in red zone touchdown percentage allowed. So Drew Aller, a couple of key third downs, for Penn State's offensively, defensively for Penn State, probably a couple of fourth down stops needed down there in the red zone. That's likely the difference here.
Are you picking Penn State in this game, Josh?
I did. The Notre Dame folks are not happy, Maggie. I have gone 0-3. I think 0-4 now, picking against them this year. It's not been a good year for me. It is not. I'm ready, willing, and able to admit that last year's Washington is this year's Notre Dame for me, because I kept thinking, when is this going to end? And it almost never did. With Notre Dame, though, I've always been of the opinion that if your blueprint requires plus turnover margin, eventually that just runs dry one week. And so I keep rolling the dice that it's going to be this week. So I'm going to do it again. Here we go. It's going to run dry here, and Penn State's going to win.
Well, Josh Pate is joining us. Josh Pate's College Football Show, great podcast, CBS Sports HQ, and also live stream, of course, on YouTube. Josh, I said, not since the movie Rudy has Notre Dame been this popular. Like, all of a sudden, they're, you know, the team you love to root against, but I don't find a lot of people actually rooting against them anymore. Let's flip over to the other game, the Cotton Bowl. Texas, Ohio State, 5.5-point favorite. I think a lot of people are having trouble coming up with a path here for Texas to win this game, considering how good Ohio State has looked in these first two rounds. Are you going to be the one to find a way for Texas to win this game?
No. It's as you described, that's exactly how I feel. Trying to find a path. I think I've said that 10 times this week. Because trust me, I want to find one now. I don't want to sound like everyone else. But I've watched them. I've watched Ohio State in person from field level the last two games they played. It's been such a quick and decisive blow. Think about this. In the Selection Sunday lead-up conversation, we were of the opinion that if Ohio State's going to do it, it's going to be like the toughest path of anyone. They haven't even been taken to the second half yet. They haven't even had a tough second quarter yet. So I will say this, okay? If you want the scenario, Texas does have the roster. It's the best roster, even above and beyond Oregon. It's the best roster. It's the best defensive line group. It's the best group of DBs. They allow the fewest explosive plays in the country, so they do make you work the ball down the field. That's there, okay? And you can also remember, because I think a lot of people have forgotten, Ohio State is without their center and left tackle. It just hasn't mattered yet. Texas has the different style athlete up front to interrupt. I call it kind of the crowbar and the bicycle spokes theory of disrupting timing and rhythm. And if you do that, like a crowbar and the bicycle spokes, it goes from you're moving pretty fast to all of a sudden you stop. You don't slow down. You just stop. So they can do that. But think about how crazy it is. We're talking about Texas's shot to beat Ohio State like most people talk about their shot to beat Texas. All these things have to go right. We have to get them off their A game. We have to muddy the game up, make it ugly. Texas is supposed to be the team that wants the style fight. They're supposed to be the team that wants to outscore you. That's just not in the cards here. But they can do it. Okay, there's a reason why, despite all this public support, this line is still under a touchdown. I'll put it this way. I will have to see it to believe it. I am not going to go wrong betting against Ohio State right now.
Josh, I have to ask, you said you were talking to some NFL scouts in the lobby. Did they ask you your thoughts on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders? And if so, what did you say?
They did not ask me my thoughts on that. I think the whole quarterback class this year is really interesting because most years I would say we've got like one or two guys where they are safely in the conversation. Any doubt that people may have about them is minor. It's quibbling. It's nitpicking. And then you got the next group, and that group has some more fundamental questions about them. This year, you can find those fundamental questions about every quarterback. You can find a guy. You can find a scout. You can find a front office type that can tell you every single one of these guys has a red flag or a concern that would keep them off my first round board. Then you can find someone else who can tell you that's top 10 quarterback. So that's one of the many reasons I just stick to like college football recruiting, because if you whiff on a guy there, he's got like 4 years to prove you right. You go spend a first round pick. Like I'm in Nashville normally. The Tennessee Titans are talking a lot about Cam Ward right now. If that doesn't work out and you've got a new stadium opening in 2027, by the way, you're talking about an upset fan base going to an outright irate fan base.
Josh, you got 20 seconds left. I'm going to put you on the spot. The best coach remaining in this Final Four is who?
I think it's Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day 2 years ago was a missed field goal away from going on to beat TCU and winning it all. And it delayed the conversation that we are now 12 days away from having. And that is, he got that one cherry on top that he already needed to reaffirm to everyone he is the real deal.
Josh Pate's College Football Show. It's a must listen. You can watch him, CBS Sports HQ. Have a great time. You're in Florida right now?
I am. Uh-oh. Beautiful, sunny, snow-free Miami.
You've chosen wisely. Josh Pate, thank you so much, Josh. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, we get started tomorrow, Perloff. Ryan Day is the best coach. You agree with that?
No. Josh is way more college football. Not Ryan Day. Honestly, I think Sark can do some things. Like, Day, what the heck? I still don't understand. I hear him talking about Ohio State, and I get it. And they're now massive favorites. But what happened against Michigan, Ryan Day?
Great question. Take it up with Chip Kelly. I don't know. I'm blaming the offensive coordinator. I get it. 855-212-4227. Appreciate Josh Pate joining us. Coming up, it's Wednesday. What does that mean? The great debate's on deck. Let's do it.